Responsive reading, 6:30, for this Father's Day, teaching children. 6:30, teaching children. Take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren.
Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord
that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged.
Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart.
You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
You shall bind them as a sign on your front hand, and you shall be as frontlets between your eyes.
You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
This time I call the held on the door for the prayer and praise requests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Patty Hall is asking for prayer for her brother-in-law, Bruce Gregory. We've been praying for Bruce, and he did get a diagnosis this week. Bruce has been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer that has spread to his liver, and he will be starting treatments tomorrow. So please keep Bruce and his family in your prayers. Carol and John Kane have asked for prayers for Bill, Stephanie, and Skylar, praying that they have a safe trip as they return home from vacation. Watch over them as they travel this weekend. Adele Miller has asked for prayers for Loretta Mash for a serious health issue. And we also have several confidential prayer requests this week. Please just keep our church family in your prayers and hope that those who are dealing with personal and private struggles gain the help that they need. And also a praise request today for the fathers, grandfathers, brothers, uncles, the men in our lives who make them so interesting.
I was really waiting to see what word she would use. You have to wait till Mother's Day. You gotta laugh. That's what keeps us going. And let's also remember the General Assembly. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. But remind us that every day should be a beautiful day when we have you in our lives and have the power of the Holy Spirit residing with us. Thank you for the church here at Glenshaw Valley, where we can love and support one another, build each other up with kind words, with scripture, with song and prayer and help. We pray for all the things that we have mentioned this day, for all the needs and all those that are unspoken. You know every need in our lives. You know us better than we even know our own selves. Help us this day. Give us strength to carry on. Give us strength to do your will, to live the lives that you have called us to be the best that we can be. For all those who are hurting and suffering, in whatever manner it may be. It may be psychologically, mentally, spiritually, financially, a health issue. Be with them. Let them feel your love and your compassion, your empathy. And where possible, let us be instruments of peace and health and hope. Lord, thank you for your love. Your love is perfect and pure. Our earthly love often is not, whether from a father or a mother, a husband, a wife, a child. We make mistakes. We at times hurt one another. Help us to do better. Help us to forgive and help us to be forgiven. Help us to move on in maturity, holding on to you and growing in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for all the examples that are given to us in Scripture. It shows that life wasn't perfect and it wasn't always easy. But when the saints held on to you and drew closer to you, they made it. They got through whatever the difficult situation was. And we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our friend. And he left us and his disciples with this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next song is our screen song, Father, I Adore You.
thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being in our lives, for your love, your grace, for your mercy, your kindness, every good gift that has come from above. Continue to bless us, Lord, and help us to be a blessing to you, to your church, to your kingdom, to others. Help us to reach out and help others find the gift of salvation and eternal life. Let us have the courage to use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to each of us. Let us seek them out. Let us be a people who are willing to do what it takes to be closer to you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture reader for today is Patty Hall. Thank her for signing up. And again, please sign up to read. We would appreciate it. And I will send you the scripture, and I'll send it in NIV version. You can print it off. Like I said, you can enlarge the type, do whatever you want.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. Final greetings. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings.
See, all scriptures are not like last week's, are they, Sherry? You had to have been here last week to know what we're talking about. I recently heard about a young couple, very conservative Bible college, who were attracted to each other, but they had been brought up to believe that anything that they did in life, they had to have a scriptural verse to back it up. One day the young man said to his girl, "Boy, do I really want to kiss you, but I just can't find the right Bible verse that allow me to kiss you." He said he tried the verse from Corinthians that said, "Greet each other with a holy kiss." But he knew that that greeting was meant for the church, not a personal relationship. So that stymied him, and he didn't know what to do. Finally, one night, the young lady was getting tired of this, and she couldn't wait anymore. So she just grabbed him, and she laid a big kiss right on him. And he, after the kiss, he kind of pushed back, didn't know what to do, and said, We've got to have a Bible verse for what we just did. She said, "I've got one. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Oh, people can be creative when they need to be, can't they? Well, I'm not going to ask you what you've done to get a kiss. We probably shouldn't do that. But Paul ends chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians with these words of our first young man who needed a verse of scripture for his actions, rejected as a rationalization for kissing his girlfriend. "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." This teaching is directed at the church. It's interesting that we should encounter this text, I think, on Father's Day, our lectionary passage. Greet one another with a holy kiss. What could be holier than a father or mother's kiss? Of course, even that at times can be risky. I heard a story about a pastor. Each morning he woke his son up out of his deep sleep by kissing him on the cheek and whispering his name in his ear, and he would gently wake up. Well, one time things went a little differently, and the father went to do it, and the son, I don't know if he was having a dream or what, but he cocked his right fist and hit his father in the eye and gave him a black eye. After that, the father made sure he was at the end of the bed when he woke his son up. We honor our fathers and grandfathers this day. And after church, I hope that you can give your father and your grandfather a kiss on the cheek. But no fist fights. But as already noted, our text is directed not to families or to sweethearts. Our text is directed to the church. This rather upbeat closing to Paul's letter, taking in isolation, might lead you to think that Paul's writing to one of the most successful congregations. Nothing could be further from the truth. Paul's letter to the Corinthian church reveals a church in which there are divisions, there are personality cults, and there are cliques. The strife was so intense that some of the members were actually taking other members to court. There was at least one case of gross immorality in the church. There was unbecoming conduct at the Lord's Supper, people actually getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, and a host of other minor and major violations of normal, what we would call normal Christian practices and principles. And to top it off, some of the more established members expressed pride over their tolerance of the unconventional practices of the non-conforming brothers and sisters. Kind of like, well, just let it be. The Corinthian church was a prime example of a church that was reaching out to the unsaved, to pagans, but it was having difficulty converting them to a Christian lifestyle. It contained a number of Christians with rough and raw edges. Got to remember, this was a whole new movement. Most churches today don't have very many Christians with the kind of rough and ragged and raw edges that were in the Corinthian church. And that's not because we're superior to the Corinthian congregation. It's because, to tell the truth, we're not converting many pagans, many unbelievers to the Christian faith. These recently converted believers made Paul's life more complicated. He was always putting out fires, answering questions about what is marriage? How about this celibacy thing? Food offered to idols? What do we do? How about drinking? How about the diet? Do we keep the Jewish laws? But life was never dull. He figured it was better than pastoring and presiding over a church that was like a cemetery. So Paul gave thanks for the church at Corinth because this church was fulfilling the wishes of his master. On one occasion, Christ said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Christ was calling us to reach out to the people with rough and raw edges. Those you might not think would fit in a church are exactly who need to be in church. We don't do that too much in the church anymore. It's much easier to be a haven for the respectable than a hospital for the unredeemed. The church at Corinth was a dysfunctional church with many dysfunctional Christians within it. In his last words to the church at Corinth, Paul doesn't chastise them. Instead, he offers them words of encouragement. There are occasions when he did chastise them. There were times when they needed to be chastised. But more than anything else, he was encouraging them to focus on what mattered the most: their faith, their love for one another, and their love for God. He knew if he could keep them centered on what was central to their faith, the rough edges would eventually be made smooth. The church today needs to be focused on what is central to our faith. Nothing has changed. We need love for God and love for one another. They said of the early believers, "See how they love one another." Those are the words of Tertullian, noted in the 3rd century by some of the non-Christians of the time, talking about the Christian communities. In other words, people outside of the church were saying good things about people inside the church. The love they are referring to is a way in which the early Christian churches cared for each other, especially for the poor and the outcast, the downtrodden. We know from reading the Acts of the Apostles that many Christian communities shared the material possessions that they had in common. They also shared freely with those in need who were not part of the Christian community. We in the church today need to be more intentional, I think, about our love for one another. Business leader Lee Iacocca once asked legendary football coach Vince Lombardi what it took to make a winning football team. Lombardi answered like this: "There are a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals and have plenty of discipline, but they don't win games." Then you come to the third ingredient. If you're going to play together as a team, you have to care for one another. You've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy and saying to himself, if I don't block that man, maybe Paul, maybe the guy next to me is going to get a broken leg because I didn't do my job and try to protect him. So I have to do my job well in order that he can do his. And the difference often, Lombardi says, between mediocrity and greatness is the feeling that these guys have for one another. A true team and true love, a brotherhood there. If that's true of a professional football team, I think it's certainly true of a local church. St. Paul knew the only way the church at Corinth would become what Christ wanted it to be was for it to become a church in which the people truly loved and cared for one another. The church at Corinth needed to focus on what was central to their faith: love for one another. Even more importantly, they needed to focus on their love for their God. Rough edges are rarely smoothed by criticism and fault finding. We become what God wants us to be when we love God so much that we conform to the image of His Son. There's a story by Alice Gray about a little girl who fell in love with a string of plastic pearls. She had saved up her money to buy this plastic treasure, and she bought them, and she wore the pearls everywhere. She wore them to Sunday school, to kindergarten. She even wore them to bed. The only time she took them off was when she went into a pool or when she bathed. The little girl had a daddy who loved her very much, and he tucked her in every night, kissed her, and read her a story. One night when he finished his story, he said, "Jenny, do you love me?" "Oh, yes, Daddy, you know that I love you." "Then, Jenny, give me your pearls." "Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. But you can have Princess the White Horse from my collection. You know the one with the pink tail? Remember, Daddy, the one you gave me? She's my favorite." "That's okay, honey. Daddy loves you. Good night." And he brushed her cheek with a kiss. About once a week, her daddy would ask her the same thing: "Do you love me? And will you give me your pearls?" Every time she would offer to give him something else, anything but the pearls. Finally, one night, the little girl was sitting on her bed with tears just running down her cheeks. With a little quiver, she finally said, "Here, Daddy, the pearls are for you." With tears gathering in his own eyes, Jenny's daddy reached out with one hand and took those dime store plastic pearls, put them in his pocket, reached into his other pocket, and pulled out a blue velvet case and handed her a string of real pearls. He had them all the time. He was just waiting for her to give up the dime store pearls so he could bless her with a true treasure. You know, our lives with all their rough, ragged edges are like those plastic beads. When we give them up to God after we've been holding on to them, thinking that they're of value, when we give them to God, He gives us back a pearl of great price. There's nothing that we can give to God of ourself, our time, our money, energy, anything that God doesn't bless us back more. When Christians with rough edges understand God's grace, they will seek to be more like the person that God means for them to be. And I think all of us have our rough and our ragged edges. And this is why St. Paul was so enthusiastic about the church at Corinth. However imperfect it may have been, and it was a tough church, it remembered those things that were central to its existence. In our culture, men rarely greet one another with a kiss, at least in the American culture. But we can still express our love through a hug and a handshake. We're more comfortable, I guess, most that way. And like the Corinthians, we too need to focus on that which is central to our faith. Whether father or mother or Christian, love for God and love for one another. May you have a happy Father's Day. May God bless you. Our hymn of response, number 29, Glorify Thy Name. Your happy Father's Day is getting you out early.
Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.